Thank you, Jesus. The reading is from Luke chapter 2. We all know it very well, starting at verse 1 through 20. Now in those days, an order was published by Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be registered. This was the first registration taken while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. So all the people went to their hometowns to be registered. Joseph, too, went up from the city of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was a descendant of the household and family of David. He went there to be registered with Mary, who had been promised to him in marriage and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to have her baby, and she gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him in strips of cloth and laid him in a feeding trough because there was no place for them in the guest quarters. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, watching their flocks during the night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Then the angel told them, "Stop being afraid. Listen, I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. Today your Savior, the Lord Messiah, was born in the city of David. And this shall be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a feeding trough." Suddenly a multitude of the heavenly army appeared with the angel, praising God by saying, "Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to people who enjoy his favor." When the angels had left them and gone back to heaven, the shepherds told one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see what has taken place that the Lord has told us about." So they went quickly and found Mary and Joseph with the baby, who was lying in the feeding trough. When they saw this, they repeated what they had been told about this child. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. However, Mary continued to treasure these things in her heart and to ponder them. Then the shepherds returned to their flock, glorifying and praising God for everything they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them.
Shall we pray? Father, thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor for Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming. Thank you for this moment that you've given us. You've given us hope. You've given us a meaning. You've redefined our lives. Thank you. And this morning we pray that you take absolute control of our time as I speak. May you, who is God, speak to your people. I plead clarity. And we pray that you give us clarity in ourselves to receive that which you have for us. Spirit of our living God, have your way amongst us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, this passage, I'm sure, is being preached so many ways this morning. And as I began with the song talking about this far by grace, and as I spoke a little bit and I said that my sermon is really over, I paused for us to read the passage because it helps us to have a good understanding of everything, what that's going on, telling us the Christmas message being Jesus being born, the place of hope. Our theme for Christmas have been hope has come. And so today I'm speaking on the subject hope has come. And just a few background picture. Luke wrote this message and he wanted us to get those of us who are reading it today to get it that he wasn't telling a mythical story, like there are mythical stories, so many mythical stories, Olympus, there are so many mythical stories going on in our world this day. But he writes facts that in the days of Caesar Augustus, he's writing facts that this event actually happened. That is why the subject of Jesus Christ being in this world cannot really be undermined. There are factual events that happened. This is proving that there was a human being that was born and he came and he lived on this earth. And which is also why some people struggle with accepting him as their Lord and personal Savior. Because how can a human being come into this world and go through all that he went through, and then we say we are following him? But he's not just a human being. He's God. He's God who appeared in the form of a child called Jesus Christ. And so all the facts from verse 1, the writer gives us the points, making us understand that this is really true. And Caesar Augustus came to power, and him also is a very interesting person. When you get chance, study on him. This guy came to unite the Roman Empire. By the time he came into power, the Roman Empire had been broken into three. And he came to unite the Roman Empire. He came with a lot of administrative knowledge. He basically came to make it stable. And so he realized that Rome had been ruling the whole world, and there was so much going on in a world of chaos. There was a lot of wars between even the Romans. There was a lot of wars going on. It was a world of chaos. So Augustus decides that he needs to send a decree to... He sat in his palace somewhere in Rome. And he sent a decree. This should tell you how powerful the guy was. That everyone in the world had to go back to their roots to be kind of like censored. Basically put their name on paper to be counted. Obviously for tax purposes. But the guy was able to pass such a rule. And so it happened also that Joseph, having come from the roots of David, had to return back home and also join the census. So he went back to Bethlehem. This was a journey of about 80 miles. And in that time, it's not an easy journey to make. I mean, these days, we do 80 miles just like that. I sit in my car, get on the highway. I love to drive. I don't like driving through towns. My GPS, I set it to the fastest most possible time. So if the GPS can find a highway somewhere and make me go through it, and so that I can enjoy my driving, I would do that. If I have to go, I love to go on highways and get to where I'm going. Everywhere I go, everywhere I'm going, I want to find the easiest, fastest way to get there. So I use Waze. And Waze does good at helping me. But the funny thing here is this. In those times, it's not like that. They had donkeys. The rich could afford horses. And even a horse would be a journey. But this is Jesus' mother on a donkey. Mary shouldn't have been part of the people traveling, because in those times, history tells us that it was men who were censored, not women. But Joseph somehow felt it necessary to go with his wife. There are many reasons that could be it, but you can also look at the situation concerning Jesus' birth. Jesus was born to, in these days, you could say, if you're sitting behind and you didn't know the story that an angel and this is a God thing, God is actually involved in all this, you would say these two were fornicating. You would say this woman had gotten pregnant by a guy that is not married to her, because they were in the process of getting married. They were not married yet. She was betrothed to Joseph to be married. And before then, we find that this girl is pregnant. And even Joseph was upset. He was going to divorce this, have nothing to do with this woman. And so you can imagine with all the rumors that might be going on in those times, you know, Joseph thought, let me take my wife away from this environment. You know, let me take this woman away from this environment and go somewhere where nobody knows us. Let us start afresh. A lot of people do that. If there's too much surrounding them in somewhere, they decide to go somewhere. So maybe that was what was happening here. And so the writer says, and it came to time for her to give birth. So you can tell, it looks like they were there in Bethlehem before she gave birth. Funny. Funny enough. We come all the way to verse 8. Shepherds watch over their flock. Jesus had been born, and the Savior being born is put in a manger. There is nowhere for him to be born that in a manger. Hope. I mean, this was the person that was supposed to bring hope to the rest of the whole world, and is lying in a manger. Manger in itself was something that animals ate from. You would not think that any parent would want to put their child in a manger. But life circumstances demanded that Joseph did that. I remember when we gave birth to our first child, there are commercials even about it, that when they give birth to their first child, they want to do everything correct. Then by the time the second child and the third child comes, they don't even care. And I remember when we were going to give birth to our first child, we bought even sanitizers, hand sanitizers and all that to make sure that our child is safe. We were in a church, I was serving as an associate pastor. We told even the pastor that we need them to wait for about 2 weeks before they come close to our child. They might bring viruses and diseases and so-called whatever to come and infect our child. We have a friend that came to visit from UK, and the friend somehow caught cold or flu here. I was so upset every time I saw her around the boy. And this is a case where the Messiah, the Savior, I've painted the picture in which our Savior was born. Chaos, a world of chaos. And it had long been prophesied that the Messiah was going to be born, the Savior who was going to come to redeem Israel from the arms of their oppressors. And so the human physical thinking is that at that point their oppressor was Rome. So it was going to be somebody who would come and set them free from the Roman Empire. But in the long shell of it, there was a lot of chaos also going on around. So Jesus is born, and the one that was coming to save all of them from the arms of the Roman Empire was born. And now, life circumstances demanded that the mother put the child in a manger. Do you see how lonely the King of Kings came into our world? It is also not surprising that the Magi, being kings who were able to see, they followed the star to go look for Jesus, went to the king's Pilate first. Because obviously, if a king is born, you would think that it's going to be a prince from a king's palace. But no. A manger in some farm somewhere. How lonely our Lord came into this world. He came so that all might be able to receive him. He came to give hope to the hopeless. And he came all powerful, but yet still in the most humblest way you can imagine. And maybe you are sitting here, and all that you're going through, you are dealing with some difficult situations in your life, and you feel like you need some powerful person to help you. You feel like you need some powerful savior or hope. And to talk about it is this guy who was in a manger. And now look, the manger being the most loneliest place for a person to be, now a message is given. Angels go to shepherds in the field, taking care of their flock at night, and tells them that the King of Kings had been born. When you look at verse 9 to 14, my focus is on 9 to 14. Children of God, look at the, I love it. This morning when we were doing our Bible studies, I made a joke downstairs that I don't feel like I should. We should just play that video. The narrator of the passage spoke so well of how, what it meant for shepherds that time. You know, when you're living in a, in this modern day city, close to city living, an American kid, the average American kid today, as we are sitting here, might not really understand who a shepherd is. A shepherd is someone that tends flock. I mean, sheep and that. And again, if you even went to a farm, this modern day sheep farm, it wasn't like the way sheep were raised in those days. Those days, they didn't have these beautiful pens, these beautiful machines. Do you know? Oh, these days, machines do everything for the farmers. We thank God for development and improvement in technology, right? But in those times, it wasn't like that. They had to be in the fields with their animals, taking care of them. They were traveling around, so they did not really have a place they call home. They were some of the most outcast of the community. People did not respect them. People did not want to hear from them. As a matter of fact, in those days, a shepherd could not be used for witness in the courtroom, because they did not believe what they said. They were seen as people who were somewhat moving around all the time. So their word didn't even carry weight. And they receive a message that the Savior is born. The ones who were outcasts now were given a message. Someone who didn't matter in society. Someone, hope came to somebody who was really outcast that night to go and look for the King, the Master. Do you see what is happening here? You and I may somewhat begin to look at ourselves and imagine ourselves similar to the shepherds. There are so many ways we may have lost hope in our world these days. I mean, Congress, leaders of this country are even fighting on that which is lawful and that which is not lawful. Our leaders of this nation, who are supposed to empower the laws of our land, are making arguments on what is lawful and what is not lawful. So you and I, what is left of us? Everybody is doing what they want to do in this world. But the hope has already come. You and I must today begin to reflect that there is hope for you and I. Just as the shepherds heard the news and with joy ran, they did it with some emergency. They responded to it with some sort of urgency. You must respond to the message of Christmas with urgency. Understand that Jesus has come. Hope has come for you. Wherever you are, whatever you are, whoever has told you are useless, however you have given up on yourself, however there is no breakthrough for you, however you are the most poor in society, however, whatever it is, hope has already come for you. Jesus has come for you. And so you can respond to it with some sort of excitement. Some sort of excitement. Child of God, this hope is down to earth. I like the way Americans used to use that word. This one is down to earth. He himself was born in a manger. He wasn't born in a palace where people can say, he can't relate with me well. I don't know. No. This Jesus can relate with you whatever level you are on. He started from the manger. He knows how it feels to be a king, a prince, and lose your priesthood and come as a human to come and suffer and go through all the human processes from the most lowest and lowest level to the highest position. Jesus has done it. And so he can relate to you and I. Tonight, I wish I could speak to President Trump. President Trump, wherever he is, can call on Jesus. Jesus can reach into him. You, wherever you are tonight, Jesus, this morning, this afternoon, Jesus has come for you and I. This morning, before I came to stand there to preach this message to you, I reminded myself that the hope has come for me. You and I must remember that there is hope for you and I. No matter what our circumstance, our situation, Jesus can relate to you and I. It is time to accept him. Renew your relationship. Take up your Bible. You remember last week I was talking about the Word, and the Word being Jesus Christ. He was manifested in this world as human being. And so now you can begin the Word being Jesus Christ. You can accept him as your Lord and personal Savior and pick up the Bible. Begin to trust the things which are written in the Bible. Begin to know that this is for you. It is not for someone. It is not for anyone but you. Jesus has come for you. There is hope for you. There is hope for you and I. And look at this. They went and they worshipped him. Worship him. Be proud about him. Give him the honor and the due that is due. What are you waiting for? Me and you, we can't go to... I don't know how I can get to President Trump. I don't know how I can get to our mayor. But I know a higher God who is down to earth. I bet you if I ever try to go to the White House without invitation, I won't get even through the first gate and CIA would be all over me. This Jesus is like direct access. By accepting him and worshiping him, you gain direct access to the highest power in this world. He is so open and freely. He has come to you and I. What hope do you have? Do you see the hope you and I have? Do you see? You may not have anyone. You may be in a situation you're like, who can I call to? Who can help me? Who will even hear my case? Jesus. Jesus is whom you can call upon. He is the highest authority. He has the highest power and yet still easy to call upon. Worship him, adore him, give him the honor that is due him. But now look at what. They went, they saw him, they worshipped him, and the word of God says that they left with joy and hope in their heart, going around and talking about Jesus. That the Messiah had been born. The Savior, the one that was coming to save Israel, had been born. Child of God, as you are experiencing this Jesus, you can also begin to share Jesus with someone. Share the hope. Be joyful about it. You know, sometimes the way we even try to talk about Jesus makes people ask us, look how depressed he is telling me about Jesus. Why should I go and join these depressed people? This morning, did you see how I pick up the microphone and I come onto the stage? Yeah, one, two. And then, Merry Christmas, we sang a song, we open up, we're singing God's song, we listen to this far by grace, and I'm dancing. You think I'm a fool? No. I am glad about what Jesus has done for me. And so no matter what, I have something to tell you, you will listen to it. Some of us, the way we carry ourselves as children of God, people who have encountered grace, the way we carry ourselves, don't even give people room to listen to you and I. But you need to begin to be cheerful about it. These people went around cheerfully. So that means that even if people didn't want to hear, they told them anyway. I gotta tell you regardless. Sow the seed. The Christmas message shouldn't end here. Christmas message shouldn't end on 25th. It should continue. Hey, I got something to you. They're like, hey, yeah, what? Jesus is born. Can you imagine? Jesus, wow, look at all this. He might walk away thinking, this guy is crazy. Why is he talking like that? This Jesus. But guess what? The Holy Spirit will use it. The saving is not you, but you have to sow the seed for the Holy Ghost to do his work. Today, look, because these people went around preaching the gospel, you and I have begun to receive, and now we are enjoying and we are glad. Look at how today you look awesome in the presence of God. Some of you might not have even dressed up in a long time, but today, look at you. You may have actually even given up on the makeup. But today you are wearing makeup. Jesus came. You look so pretty in the house of God. You look so handsome in the house of God. Today I said to myself, child, I need to stand out. Where's my best suit? This is my only best suit. My wife knows. When I wear this suit, it means I want to give up some. And today, do you see the level that I'm trying to portray in the house? I'm wearing my tie. I'm sitting down. Brother Keith is doing everything. I'm a riffraff. Sometimes I don't act like that. But today I'm on a different level. I'm looking special to spread the gospel, child of God. Proud, be proud about this Jesus. Hope. Begin to share this hope with others. Don't hold on to it alone. And that is also why you have to really give yourself fully. Children of God, Christmas shouldn't end here. Hope has come. This Jesus has come. And Paul, wherever you go, when you are alone in your dorm room in Boston, remember that Jesus, there's hope for you and I. There's hope for you and I. And this hope, we have to continue to share it with others. You know, sometimes you sit on the train. You are smelling good. You are bubbling. But the person sitting by your side need to hear the message of hope. Let's not be selfish, children of God. If you don't do it, who else will do it? If you don't do it, who else will do it? You see, the sad thing is this. If you refuse to do it, the Lord says he will raise up stones to give him praise. You will miss out. Do you know on that day when we stand before our Lord, he will ask us, I gave you this. What did you do with it? He will ask us of every person that knew us who has ended up in hell. He will request their blood from us. This is serious. I am thankful I was able to share God with some of the friends I know who have died and have gone to hell. A lot of them died in their sins. This morning I was telling Brother Keith that I'm reflecting on a lot because some very close friends of mine died in a way that I should have died. One was drunk and he had a car crash and he died instantly. Another one drunk and he got drunk. He ran and jumped into the sea. They went to the beach. He drank so much with his girlfriend doing foolish things. And he said, you know, let me go and take my last dip and then I'll come and we'll go home. He dipped and he never came back. He died. So when people are dying in their sin, and I was equally a sinner like them, and by God's grace, I'm standing here preaching about the hope that the Lord has for you and I. Children of God, such things are things we should be reflective and thankful about and begin to walk in hope, because hope dwells with us. The Spirit of God is with us. The anointing of Jesus is upon you. The Holy Spirit is with you. So you bring hope everywhere you go. That is also why I have problem with Christians who, when they open their mouth, they cause chaos. I begin to ask myself, are you of the Spirit of God? Anyway, let me know. Today is, we are preaching on hope. So God bless you. God be with you. May the hope continue to be with you. And you go and share it. Now look at another person who might have been downtrodden. This Mary, her case is so sad in this. Innocent girl who was a virgin, who had kept herself so pure to be married to a Holy Ghost guy, let me just put it that way. End up being pregnant. For all you know, the whole of the town and the commission was probably the talk in those days. In those Jewish time, when a girl got pregnant before they gave birth, it was a big deal. So you can imagine what she was going through. And an angel comes to her. She accepts the challenge to bear the King of Kings. Yeah. Now she goes through all the hassle that I've told you to give birth. Yeah. And can you imagine how sad that would be? She's there mourning and thinking about battling through a lot of things. And then shepherds come. Hey, we've heard that the Savior has been born here. Mary. Oh my God. So it's not a joke. This thing is true. And then also Magi, kings, three kings come to worship Jesus. Oh, amazing. Now suddenly this young woman that was downtrodden, that would have been going through a lot of rejection, a lot of depression, a lot of whatever shin that you can think about, suddenly gets hope. The word of God says she kept it all in her heart. May you begin to keep and to enjoy and begin to reflect on the importance and the quality of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. God's favor be with you. God's peace be with you. Let us pray, please.